Good morning, brothers and sisters of Plainfield Baptist Church. I'd like to especially wish the mothers in our congregation a warm and happy Mother's Day on this Lord's Day. It's a joy to be able to speak to you. As I've said in these last weeks, even if it's not face-to-face, I'm glad that through technology and video recordings that we're able to just bring you the word of life in some capacity. I pray that this morning that the text we're going to read, which will be from 2 Timothy, so if you have your Bible with you, you may want to turn there now, but I pray that it'll be something that'll strengthen you and encourage you. I pray that it'll especially be something that'll be encouraging for the mothers in our congregation. Normally, I think, as I've said during these quarantine sermons that we've preached here, normally as a church, when we have time set aside for the preaching of God's Word in our corporate worship gathering, we preach through books of the Bible, verse by verse. During these quarantine days, Pastor Dev and I have been going to some different places in the Bible, primarily the New Testament, to just see different things, to look at different things that exalt the Lord Jesus in special ways and encourage believers. And so we're going to do that again this morning. And I pray that the text that we look at will be a blessing to you. And I pray that it will especially be something that honors and exalts in a appropriate way the glory and the nobility of motherhood, and especially Christian motherhood in the homes. Mothers are an indispensable asset to our society and our world. They're set up by God in His creation order, and they're an incalculable blessing to our homes as Christians. And I also understand that on Mother's Day, for many people, Mother's Day is something that brings them great gladness and encouragement, and makes them think either of warm memories they had of their own mother growing up in their home, or maybe even the mother that's in their home. If you're married to a mother right now, it maybe makes you think of that as well. But I also understand that for some people, days like Mother's Day maybe aren't the most encouraging day. Maybe you didn't grow up in a home with a mother that was faithful in the way that a mother should be, or maybe you didn't grow up in a home with a mother because she just wasn't there. And so I just want to pray that if for whatever kind of emotions or feelings that a message like this might conjure up for you, we just want you to know, and I want you to know that in Jesus Christ, we have a God who loves us, who's shown His mercy to us in His Son, and loves the motherless and the fatherless, and He loves you if you're listening to this, no matter what kind of home that you may have come from. So, again, if you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to Paul's letter to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is the chapter that we're going to be looking at this morning, particularly verses 14 and verse 15, though. But before we begin our time together, why don't we go to the Lord and pray and ask Him to bless our time in God's Word this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's able to make us wise and gives us wisdom for salvation. Father, we thank You that in Your wisdom You've been kind to give mothers as gifts to our homes and to Your church. Father, I pray that in this time now that we would see the beauty of that in Your Word. I pray that the Lord Jesus would also be exalted during this time, and I pray that You would be with me as I seek to preach, and You would help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3 is the letter that we're going to be focusing on. 2 Timothy was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a younger protege or coworker in the faith, Timothy. He's an individual that we encounter in the book of Acts, which records an early New Testament history of what happened with the apostles after the Lord Jesus died and was raised again. And 2 Timothy is the last letter that we have from the Apostle Paul. It's a letter that Paul wrote near the end of his life as an older man. And much of the exhortations and instructions that he gives him in this letter are very personal in nature. And normally in Paul's letters, when you read them, he often names people specifically in the greetings that he gives at the end of the letter. 2 Timothy is an interesting letter because really strung throughout different parts of the letter, Paul mentions names, sometimes names of people that have wronged him or done something bad to him. So it's in a very pronounced way, a very personal letter in terms of what Paul speaks about to this person. And unlike other letters in the New Testament, Timothy is not written to a whole church or a whole congregation or a group of churches. It's written to one person primarily, and that's Timothy. And so right here in chapter 3, we're in the middle of that letter. And I want us to begin by hearing what Paul says in chapter 3, verse 10. That's where we'll start reading, and we'll read down to verse 17. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. "But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed. You know that those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." As I said a few moments ago, friends, the primary verses that we're going to focus on in the unit of verses that we just read are verse 14 and verse 15. And one of the key truths that I think we'll see in that verse is we'll see the glory of a faith that's handed down, a faith that is handed down. So why don't we look at that together by reading verse 14 again, specifically the second part of verse 14. Paul writes, "You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So here in this verse, Paul reminds Timothy in verse 14, "You know those who taught you." So who are those people? Who are the ones who taught Timothy? Who are the ones who exposed him to the scriptures, to the word of God, the sacred writings? To answer that question, we actually have to go back to Paul's opening words in this letter to Timothy. You can look there in your Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, Paul tells Timothy in verse 3, "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is in you also." So in chapter 3, verse 14, when Paul tells Timothy, "You know those who taught you," the people that Paul is especially referring to are those two key women that Paul mentions earlier in chapter 1 that were the key women in Timothy's earlier life, in his younger years, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, both Christian women who were faithful to love Timothy, to raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and also, as Paul tells us, faithful to teach him the word of God. the Scriptures. And again, that's why this is significant. Paul assures Timothy in verse 15, from infancy you have known the Scriptures. From infancy you've known the Scriptures. In other words, from the time you were a baby, from your earliest days, people have been setting the Word of God before you. They've been opening the Word of life. They've been reading it to you. They've been rehearsing it to you, singing praises from the Word of God to you, particularly in Timothy's home that he would have been raised in. The primary Word of God that he would have most often heard, of course, would have been actually the Old Testament Scriptures, as the New Testament Scriptures were actually still being written, of course, as we know, through the fact that Paul's writing one of them right now in his letter to Timothy. So the primary Scriptures that Timothy would have been reading would have actually been the Hebrew Scriptures, those Old Testament writings. But Paul tells him, you've heard those and you've known them even from infancy. And again, how is that possible? Well, of course, it's possible because Timothy's mother and his grandmother were faithful. They were faithful and diligent to teach Timothy God's word. There's no evidence that Timothy's father had any meaningful role in his spiritual development. We first hear about Timothy in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. The only thing we hear about Timothy's father is this. Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. In other words, Timothy's mother was a Christian who had been converted to faith in Jesus Christ out of a Jewish background, like so many early Christians. But the woman that Timothy's mother was married to, or the husband that Timothy's mother was married to, was not from a Jewish background, and more importantly, he wasn't a believing person. He was not a Christian. He was not a man that trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Eunice, Timothy's mother, did. There's nothing in that verse that indicates Timothy's father was a Christian. In fact, the verse seems to indicate the very opposite by what it doesn't say. So whatever glorious thing God was doing through the Scriptures in Timothy's home as a child, Timothy's dad was not likely a large or significant player at all when it came to what Timothy learned about the things of God. It doesn't mean that faithful Christian fathers aren't important for pointing their children to Christ, so you shouldn't read these verses and think, no big deal, as long as you had a Christian mother, you don't need a Christian father. That's not really Paul's point here, and it's not really his point anywhere. His point means that if you don't have a Christian father, or if you're a believing woman who is not married to a Christian father, God still has grace for you. He still has grace for your family and for your child, and His grace will be sufficient for you. And He's given the thing that you need the very most. He's given you the word that He's spoken and passed down through His apostles, the Scriptures that Paul says are able to make you wise for salvation. Now, what Paul says next tells us something glorious about motherhood, and it also tells us something glorious, I think, about God's word. Again, Paul says in verse 15, you know that from infancy you've known the sacred Scriptures, which are able to give you what? Wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ. So, one of the things that Paul teaches Timothy that's glorious about motherhood is that Christian motherhood is one of the most important vocations in all the world, and Christian motherhood is a form of motherhood that's dependent on God's word, and it's based upon exposing God's word in every way possible inside your home. To be a Christian mother is to be a person who has the greatest opportunity to teach and model the Scriptures before a child. Now, why is that important? I said a moment ago that these verses teach us something glorious about motherhood, but they also teach us something glorious about the Scriptures. Paul calls them what? He calls them the sacred Scriptures, again, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ. So what's glorious about the Scriptures in this sentence? The Scriptures are able to teach you how to be right with the living God. The Scriptures are able to lead you to salvation. In other words, the Scriptures are sufficient to give you all that you need to find salvation in Jesus Christ. And why should this be an encouragement for Christian mothers, which I think it truly is? It teaches you that you don't have to worry about your limited wisdom or your savvy or your creativeness to give a child everything that they need for salvation. As a mother, if you're faithful to read the Scriptures with your children, if you're faithful to point them to the simple yet glorious truths of the gospel each day, you're doing the best thing that you can ever do for your child. If you're a younger mother, especially with children in your home, I really hope that this is a blessing to you, and I hope it's of some sort of real encouragement for you. Read the Bible to your children. Speak the truths of the gospel to your children about what God's done for them in Jesus Christ. Speak the words that are able to, as Paul says, give them wisdom for salvation. That's exactly what the gospel is. The gospel is a good news message that God, the living God of this world who created the world and everything in it and declared it good and created you and created me, even though that God is holy and just and righteous, and we as his human creatures are not, we've sinned against him and rebelled against him and turned from him in all kinds of wicked and evil ways. Because God is holy and just, friend, you should know this, his word assures us, and perhaps your conscience even tells you that you wouldn't be fit to receive God's mercy. In fact, the opposite is true. Left to ourselves and left to what we truly deserve, the only thing that we do deserve is the penalty for our sin, the penalty for disobeying God and breaking his law and going against what he's revealed in his word. But the good news of the gospel is this: even though that's what we deserve, because God is rich in mercy, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners such as you and me. And in Jesus coming, in his obedient life and his death, his sacrificial death on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, when he willingly offered himself on the cross, he was doing that as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for sins. Sins like yours and sins like mine. So, friends, the teaching of God's word and the hope of the gospel is that if you'll turn from your sin and you'll trust in Jesus and trust in his life and death on the cross for your sins, the good news of the gospel is that God will save you from your sins. He'll make you a son or a daughter, and your best days will truly be before you. That's what Paul's talking about when he talks about the Scriptures being able to give you wisdom for salvation. The salvation that's offered in the Scriptures is a salvation that's from sin and to everlasting joy in Jesus Christ. And so if you're listening to this today for the first time, maybe you're just listening to this today because as out of a kind of a mother's gift for your mother, your mom sent you a link to some sermon and said, asked you to watch this. I want you to know this, that true hope and salvation, forgiveness is found for you, and it's found only in Jesus Christ. So my prayer for you and the prayer of our church for you is that if you're not trusting in Jesus, that you would today, that you would turn from your sin and trust in the one who can save you. That's the hope of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is contained in the Scriptures that are able to make a person wise for salvation. So if you're a mother, I pray that you're encouraged by that this morning. Just think about this. Despite what maybe different things in our cultures maybe make you feel, to be a great mother, you don't have to be great at 10,000 different things. Or to be a great wife and mother if you're married, you don't have to be able to assist your child with homework at every stage of their education. You don't have to be able to help your high school student do AP calculus to be a good mother. You don't have to keep your home spotless to be a good mother. You don't have to drive your kids all over creation to half a dozen ball practices and piano lessons and dance recitals to be a good mother. You really don't have to do any of those things. To be a great mother, you don't need to do 100 things that the world esteems in mothers. You just need to do a few glorious things that God esteems in mothers and do them faithfully and do them joyfully with all your heart. If you want to be a faithful mother, prayerfully read something from the Bible for your kids each day if you can. Sing songs with your kids that teach them something of the truths of God's Word. Pray the Scriptures over your kids. Pray the Scriptures and promises that God has revealed in His world, in His Word, for the salvation of your children. And obviously, if you're a Christian father listening to this, you should be participating and even leading in your home in this type of spiritual instruction to your kids. But here in this text, specifically in verses 14 and 15, the focus is on mothers, what Paul learned from those who passed these things down to him, which would have been his mother and his grandmother. And I want you to also note, friends, that Paul does, earlier in this letter, mention grandmothers. And one of the things that tells me, too, is that not only younger women with smaller children in the home, but also older women, perhaps with children out of the home, can play a critical role in the life of a church. And if you're, maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking about your time as a mother, maybe you have things you wish you would have emphasized more frequently or faithfully in your home as a child. I don't want you to hear a sermon like this or read a text like this and feel like you've wasted it. God is able, God is rich in mercy and He's sovereign. And one of the things that this book affirms is the power of God to open people's eyes to their sin. In fact, at one point in this letter to Timothy, Paul speaks about those who are actually going against the teaching that Timothy is handing down. And he says, speaking to Timothy about these people that are opposing him, God may grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. And so one of the things I want you to hear from this, if you're listening this morning and maybe you have concerns over a child that's outside of your home, is that God is able to do that. He's able to grant your son or your adult daughter repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. So don't lose heart in a sermon like this. Don't despair. Continue going before the throne of grace for your child every day. Pray for them when it's appropriate, when you have opportunity to, in a loving, gentle way. Speak the truth of the gospel to them, or the hope of that we have in Jesus Christ. And you can just continue to love and nurture that relationship in every way that you can. And trust God. Trust the God of who says, the Bible tells us, the judge of all the earth will do right. Trust Him to do right with your child. And pray and plead for the Lord to open their eyes to see their need for Jesus Christ. And don't lose heart. But again, why the focus on mothers? The focus on this text when it comes to what the Lord used to bring Timothy to salvation, in this case, is clearly on the role of a Christian mother and grandmother. And again, the reason that's important is because in many cases, and I don't want to overgeneralize this here, because there's all kinds of situations where children grow up in a home without a mother. But in many cases, when a child grows up with a mother, that mother, for much of that child's first decade and a half of life, spends an incredible amount of time with that child. If you're a mom, one of the ways that you can redeem the time with your children is by doing what Paul says about Timothy's mother here. It's amazing what Paul commends Timothy for. What's the key thing that Timothy's known since he was a baby? It's the good news of Jesus Christ that's revealed in the Scriptures. Our world increasingly does not honor the vocation of motherhood as it should. And it's not just a vocation if you're a Christian mother, it's also a calling for you. If you're a Christian and a mom, then God has called you to be a mother to your children? And if you do this with all your heart, mothers, if you do this with joy, it will be, and I'm sure you must know this, it'll be one of the hardest jobs that you'll ever do. And I hope when you hear the words of Paul, when he says, you know those who taught you, you'll remember that's what God has called me to do, even when it's difficult, even when it's very hard. That's why moms, especially during different seasons of motherhood, when they go to head, they just pass out. It's because being a mother is exhausting. And so when you're doing all the different things that moms do, and maybe you feel like it's just monotony sometimes, never think that you can't fold laundry or wipe noses or change dirty diapers or help with homework to the glory of God. You can. And all those things, when you do those things with joy, you're in some ways earning a hearing for the gospel with your children. When you work in such a way that they say, Mom's joyful in this. She loves doing this. She loves serving us in our home or Dad with these things. One of the things you're doing is that when you speak those words of life to your children, they're going to land in a powerful way. And I do want to say the power's in the words themselves, not the messenger of the words. But God, in His mercy and His wisdom, is pleased to use ends and means together. And one of the means that God uses in speaking the words of life to someone, especially when it comes to a mother speaking the words of life to a child in the Scriptures, is the power of just a mother just doing the things that so many people in our society overlook or dismiss as unimportant or just mundane, doing those things with a smile and with gladness. I think when that's done day after day, week after week, year after year, it makes an incredible impact on a child's life. In hearing those words, in fact, it may be much years later. Don't think that just because now you're teaching these things to your child and you're preaching the gospel to them and you're praying for them, for the Lord to open their eyes to see their need for Jesus Christ. Know that the word is powerful. It doesn't just have power in a moment, but it may be years from now. Maybe perhaps some truths that you've taught your child at very young years, maybe much older, when they're much older in life, God, by His grace, through His Spirit, will open their eyes to see the truth of what you taught them then and all the ways that you help them listen to you and to not be dismissive of what you said because of the joyful way that you did those things. So that's something that's, I think, just so important for us to remember. I want to read something that an early 20th century writer, Christian writer named G.K. Chesterton, he wrote about motherhood because I think it powerfully affirms the truths of what we've just read about in verses 14 and 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Chesterton says, "How can it be a large career to tell other people's children about the rule of three and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe? How can it be broad to be the same thing to everyone and narrow to be everything to someone? No, a woman's function is laborious, but because it is gigantic, not because it's minute." I think Chesterton's right. The reason that being a mother is so hard, or it's so laborious, in his words, is not because it's some small, unimportant thing, because it's a gigantic thing. And if you're a mother, he's also right. God has not called you to be something for everyone else. He's called you to be everything to someone. And the someone that he's called you to be, try to be everything to, is your children. He's called you to pour yourselves into them and your heart into them, and to love them and nurture them and to invest in them and to pray for them and laugh with them and to seek forgiveness from them when you sin against them, and to teach them the words of life that are found in the Scriptures. If you're a younger mother, I want you to do this. Ask the Lord to make you a mother like a Eunice. Ask Him to make you a mother that your child, 25 years from now, can look back and say, "From infancy, I have known the sacred Scriptures from my mother, and I have heard them taught in my home at the dinner table. I've heard them prayed over me, and I've seen my mother live out the scriptures before my eyes. And so my prayer for you is that if you're a mother, that you would ask God to help you do that. If you're a mother, especially with children in the home, you'd ask Him by His grace to give you all the strength you need to live in obedience to the scriptures, and also of equal importance to teach them to your children on every opportunity that you have, and to do that with great joy. And if you're a mother who perhaps has children that are outside of the home, I pray that you would continue to do that with your child. Continue to speak those things and those truths to them as opportunities are afforded to you. And if you're a grandmother, ask the Lord to make you a Eunice. Ask Him to make you someone who, when you have opportunities with your grandchild, maybe you're keeping them, or maybe just whenever you have, the Lord affords you opportunities to be around them, that you would be like a Eunice, that you would be the type of woman that Timothy could look back and say, from the days of my infancy, I have learned the scriptures from her. And who knows what the Lord might be pleased to do from that. And one of the things we know as Christians, that God is pleased to honor the speaking and preaching of His word by His Spirit. So never underestimate the power of what you can do in those afternoons or those mornings with that dear Christian mother. And so, brothers and sisters of Plainfield Baptist Church, I look forward to, Lord willing, getting to see at least some of you, I hope, and pray on Sunday, May 24th. I look forward to that day with great anticipation. But I pray that you're well. I pray that you are resting in Jesus Christ and finding your hope in Him this week. And I pray that He will be with you and strengthen you in every way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of your Son. We thank you for the gift of mothers. We thank you for Timothy's mother. We thank you for Eunice and for Lois and the impact they made in his life, an eternal impact that we even benefit from today. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen and encourage the mothers of Plainfield Baptist Church. I pray that you would not allow them to lose heart in their calling that you've given them. I pray that you would give them the grace to work hard at what they do with joy and gladness. And Father, I pray that you would give them a faithfulness to speak the words of life, to speak and to read the scriptures with their children for the everlasting good of their souls and for the glory of your Son's name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.